York City.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Hey, a good Thursday morning to everybody. It's going to be a beautiful day. Beautiful day out there in Shinnecock Hills where the U.S. Open kicks off today. Len, you know, I'm a big golf fan. I know that I know you play. I used to play when I was a kid, but I haven't played since I moved to New York City. But I still like to watch golf. I find golf, a lot of people think it's boring to watch on TV, but I actually find it quite gripping.
No, I agree with you. And I was just looking at the tournament began about 6:45 this morning. And there's only one golfer is one under. Now, they've only played a couple of holes.
Yeah.
But most golfers are either even par and or one over and or even two over after a couple of holes. So it's a hard course. How about this? There's one golfer who's played three holes. He's three over already. I mean, this is going to be a tough one. Guy's four over playing four holes. That is a tough golf course. Peter Jacobson talked about that.
We just had Peter on, yeah.
Yeah, he was good. He's the NBC commentator, and he's picking Justin Rose, and he's talking. I asked him about what happened in 2004. This was par three where they just didn't water it enough, and it was
So baked. That means they're really fast.
Well, yeah, and it was elevated, and they couldn't. The ball wouldn't land on. Oh, it was a mess, and the players were irate, and then they really watered it down, so the players who went later had more of an advantage. They screwed up the course, is what they did in 2004. So hopefully they'll get it right this time around.
Peter was talking about the wind and breezes. I'm just curious, Len. You know more about golf than I do. If you're playing at a place like Shinnecock Hills near the sea,
is it
that sea breeze like a Pebble Beach that can send your ball into all sorts of velocity whip-arounds?
Well, it all depends. Like there's a hole at Pebble Beach that goes right into the water, and you could use anywhere from a pitching wedge to a 6-iron, depending on which way the wind's blowing. Jacobson just told us he's got 30-mile-an-hour gusts out there.
Wow.
That's why you have one guy under par after four holes. I mean, when you have wind blowing like that,
yep.
I mean, you got to aim left to get the ball. I mean, it's
to
crazy.
Go right?
Yeah, no, it really is difficult. So
wow.
It's going to be interesting.
In our big three today, if you're in New Jersey, you can place your bets on who's going to win the U.S. Open because betting is now legal in New Jersey.
Well, we have to check on that with Alice. You can bet on who's going to win the World Cup, which begins today.
But we don't know if you can bet on the golf.
Well, we'll ask Alice. We have Alice coming up later in this hour.
Alice Stockton-Rossini. Yep. She's out there in Monmouth Park.
Yeah, and we'll ask her if you can bet on the golf as well. I know you can bet on the baseball games.
And Governor Murphy is going to be the first person out there to place his bet at 10:30. And let's have a bet on what he's going to bet on.
I bet that he bets on the Yankees.
Probably.
That's my bet.
He's not that inventive or creative. He'll do the obvious thing.
They're playing Tampa Bay. So that's my bet that he bets on the Yankees.
How much do you think he puts down?
$10.
What a cheap gov he is.
That's just my bet. That's my bet. Okay. What are we betting here?
All right. I bet he's a spendthrift. I bet he's going to juice the economy in New Jersey by laying down $25. Is that a bet, Len?
On what?
I'd go with you on the Yankees.
Yankees, sorry.
He'll put $25 down on the Yankees.
All right, let's see.
We'll see. And what do I win if I win that bet from you? I already got a free coffee.
I already gave you my free birthday coffee.
That's it. I don't win anything.
Actually, I took that, but...
You took the free coffee? What would Rio get?
What did I get? Who paid for my coffee?
Len did. It was $2.
I paid for it.
Yeah.
So we're even now. What happened was Rio bought me lunch a couple of weeks ago.
At Bubby's, not cheap.
And I got him a free coffee.
On his birthday app, so he didn't pay anything for it.
I know.
Thank you very much, Len. Big spender.
My pleasure.
Big spender.
By the way, speaking of sports, we were talking about Lenny Dykstra before.
Yeah.
And the name of his book is Nails. I mistakenly said balls.
Yes.
So I want to thank listener Dick, who pointed out that the person who wrote balls... I'm not making this up.
No.
That's his name.
His name is Dick.
It is.
And he's telling you who the author of Balls is. Are you kidding
me? He emailed me directly, which was very nice of him. And he said that was Greg Nettles, the Yankees third baseman. You think I'm making this up? That's his name.
Thank you, Dick, for pointing out who wrote Balls.
Well, if anyone
would be in so much trouble today.
If anyone would know.
You really are.
If anyone would know.
It's got to be a guy named Dick.
Okay, guys.
Moving right along in the big
three. I thought my 13-year-old was hard enough. But no. You guys
Natalie,
are worse.
We're just getting started.
That's it. We had another 2 hours with us, Natalie. The show really has the potential to be pretty crazy this morning. Also in the big three, Trump and Kim Jong-un. They have got a bromance going on that makes the bromance that Trump had with Macron, the French guy, look like they were haters. I mean, Trump is all over Kim Jong-un. He's praising this dictator. He's saying what a great guy he is. His people love him. Of course,
you Republicans are saying it's just a setup to butter the guy up.
Well, it is. You can't enter a negotiation with somebody and say, hey, you're like Adolf Hitler. You're a horrible person. You're terrible. You subjugate your people. you put them in cages with wild dogs, and now let's make a deal and have no nukes.
No.
You think that's how you open a negotiation?
No, but you don't have to say anything, and then afterwards, if they ask you what a... You say, tough negotiator. Now, leave it at that. I think he's a tough negotiator. He's trying to do what's best for his country. Leave it at that. Don't say, oh, he's a good guy. He's, wow, what a great job he did taking over for his dad. That wasn't easy to take over for a dictator and kill your uncle. That's hard work. So don't say stuff. Really?
It's not easy. If he was a young guy, Kim Jong-un, he was only 26 years old. He was handed a country he has to govern. He had a lot of enemies out there. If you live in that kind of country, how do you deal with your enemies? You kill them.
All right.
And he did.
Here's what he told Brett Baer on Fox.
You know, you call people sometimes killers. He is a killer. I mean, he's clearly executing people.
He's a tough guy. Hey, when you take over a country, with tough people, and you take it over from your father, I don't care who you are, what you are, how much of an advantage you have. If you can do that at 27 years old, that's 1 in 10,000 that could do that. So he's a very smart guy. He's a great negotiator. But I think we understand each other.
Really?
He would have done very well in The Apprentice, Kim Jong-un.
Just 1 in 10,000 could be related to a killer, get the job, and become a killer. That's not easy.
Hey.
Oi.
Len.
Oi. What?
You know what I'm going to bet on? I'm going to go to Monmouth Park today,
yes.
Okay? And I'm going to lay down $25 on Donald Trump winning the Nobel Peace Prize. Okay?
He's been nominated for it.
He has been. Two Norwegians, I believe, have nominated him.
That's where the Peace Prize comes from. It comes from Oslo.
Yeah. So who are the guys who nominated them? Do we know?
Yes. Christian Tybring and
Henrik Ibsen.
Per Willy Edmundson. They are members of the Progressive Party, and they said Trump has taken a huge and important step in the direction of disarmament, peace, and reconciliation between North and South Korea. You know what? Let's wait till the job gets done, then give him the prize.
Oh,
okay?
did we wait for Obama
no.
to win the Peace Prize?
No.
He won an election in the United States, and they gave him the Peace Prize the day after he was elected.
What's your point? No,
because Obama did nothing to earn the Peace Prize.
That was ridiculous.
And Trump has now brought North Korea into the family of nations.
Let's see what happens.
He's going to take the nukes out of the Korean Peninsula. This is a big diplomatic breakthrough.
It's a good first step.
You will not even acknowledge what he has done.
I've said it's a good
thing. The skepticism in your voice is dry. It's like nails on the chalkboard.
Now you're putting words in my mouth. That's ridiculous. Of course it's great that he's talking. Well, how about all those Republicans who said, I can't believe Obama really wants to talk to Kim. What's wrong with Obama? Now all these Republicans are kissing the president's tushy, the same people on Fox. Anyway, no, I think it's a good thing he engaged him, but it's a little premature. I was one of the first who said months ago, if he achieves full denuclearization with 100% verification, I'll hand him the prize. Just give him the prize. No other nominees. He gets it.
Fair enough. You want to talk about hypocrisy, though? Do you recall, Len, when Trump was saying, I've got a bigger button than Kim Jong-un's button, we can wipe him off the face of the planet? Do you remember the New York Times, NPR, the Washington Post, all your lefty friends on CNN saying, can you believe the language that Donald Trump uses? This is belligerent. This is aggressive. This is terrible. Now that Trump has met with Kim Jong-un, has praised him, is getting him to the negotiating table to get rid of the nukes, what is the New York Times saying? What is Nicholas Kristof at the New York Times saying? Oh, this is terrible that Trump is legitimizing this dictator. That is the height of hypocrisy.
Well, it did seem a little immature-ish to say my button's bigger than your button, but
it worked.
If that's what it took, and if that's what scared the Rocket Man, and if the word, the name calling did it, then fine. Then he did a good job.
Good.
There you go. How about that?
Give him the Nobel Peace Prize.
Here's more of that Brett Baer interview.
But I mean, he's still done some really bad things.
Yeah, but so have a lot of other people done some really bad things. I mean, I could go through a lot of nations where a lot of bad things were done. Now, look, with all of that being said, the answer is yes. I'm going from today. I'm going from maybe 90 days ago because we really started this. We got a call that he was going to the Olympics. He would like to go to the Olympics. And that was sort of the beginning of what we have right now. And we're very far down the line. You saw the agreement. Nobody thought we were going to have an agreement like that.
Yeah, a lot of countries have done bad things.
Of course they have.
They're all eating dirt, living in detention camps, getting blown away by anti-aircraft guns.
You know what this is called, Len? This is called real politic. He is dealing with the situation at hand. The goal is to get North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons. You're not going to get them to give up those weapons by insulting their leader. Simple as that. Can't you grasp this fundamental concept? It's not that hard.
Okay, fine. You win.
Thank you. Yeah. I've beaten you into submission.
Finish the big three.
Also in the big three, oh, hoard your styrofoam peanuts because the ban on styrofoam in New York City takes effect January 1st. No more styrofoam.
What do you think of that? I can't wait to hear what our listeners think. Is this a really a good thing for the environment or is
government
this
overreach?
Government overreach, nanny state.
I'm going to miss the styrofoam peanuts. I loved them as a kid.
You ate them?
Yeah,
I did. That explains a lot.
I hate them. Remember, you used to throw them up in the air? And when the box came, something that was breakable was packed in the styrofoam peanuts. When your parents took out the breakable thing, you would crawl into the box with the styrofoam peanuts and hide under the peanuts.
How do you ban that, though? Because packages come from out of state.
That's a good question.
How can you really... I mean, that's part of the ban, but how do you ban them? You're still going to get styrofoam peanuts.
Bubble wrap is so much
better.
I love bubble wrap.
When you're popping the bubble wrap,
can we bring
that's
some in here? I'd love that.
Okay, do we have some sound effects of popping the bubble wrap?
Yeah,
that's
give me
so much fun.
I'll tell you, there were mornings when I said, boy, I wish I had some good bubble wrap. Listening to Riedel talk.
If I had some styrofoam peanuts, I'd be throwing them at you right now, Lynn.
You know, I was actually going to buy bubble. It was a thing for my kid's birthday party. Yeah. It's not cheap because I was in Staples and they have these huge wheels of bubble wrap.
I buy rolls of it.
And I thought twice. I'm like, I don't know about that. When it comes free in a package, it's not so bad.
But don't you love the snap?
I love that. Who doesn't like that?
Bubble roll? Come on. Yeah. That's going to be great.
Just a quick word from Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State. Of course, he's now in the forefront of negotiations.
The agreement that was signed made very clear that this would be the complete denuclearization and made express reference and incorporated into that the very well done document, the Panmunjom Declaration, which itself incorporates all previous agreements between inter-Korean agreements.
All right. I have no clue what he said. Let's go back to bubble wrap. Though. That's something I can grasp.
Yeah, let's get the bubble wrap. That's much better than listening to Pompeo. Never mind.
Don't go away. When we come back, we want your thoughts on the ban on styrofoam. Are you going to miss the styrofoam peanuts? Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Ban the styrofoam, or is this government overreach? Call us when we get back. Now let's go to Bernie Biter with the traffic.
June 14th, 2018, 8:24 in the morning. Coming up in about 5 minutes, the Mets Turning Point Contest from yesterday's loss in Atlanta. A chance for you to win a couple of free Mets tickets. Now, I want to know what you think about this. Starting January the 1st, Mayor de Blasio says no more styrofoam. You can't get drinks with styrofoam. Those little food containers where you
no styrofoam peanuts. What are you going to do without the
styrofoam peanuts? Oh, all the styrofoam's gone. There will be a grace period, but this happens January the 1st from the mayor. What do you guys think? Is this good? Is this a good thing for the environment? Or do you think it's government nanny state overreach? Do you think the government just meddling too much in what we're doing? What do you guys think?
And by the way, you can also call in at 1-800-321-0710 to wish Len a very happy birthday.
Thank you very much. That's very
and
nice.
The president too.
Yeah, it's also the president's birthday. Yeah, and boy George. So there you go. Three peas in a pod. 800-321-0710. What do you think of the mayor and the city getting rid of the styrofoam? Well, if they do away with styrofoam peanuts, then we'll have a lot of bubble wrap.
Yes.
Bubble
wrap is that biodegradable bubble wrap?
We love the bubble wrap.
I like the snap, crackle, and pop of bubble wrap, but is that...
There are times you're talking, and I'd much rather play with my bubble wrap than listening to you talk.
Sounds like gunshots there.
It sounds like fireworks.
Chilling. It does.
That's bubble wrap. Much more fun.
I'm hopping in my seat with a bubble wrap.
Natalie,
popping.
Stop playing a sound effect. Every time you play a sound effect, you like overdo it.
Yes,
stop.
I do.
Regrets. I had a few.
All right, let's start with a bunch you want to weigh in. Let's start with Phil on the island. Hey, Phil, good morning. What do you think about the great styrofoam controversy?
Well, you know, Lennon, we've been living with styrofoam for over 75 years. It's caused us no harm. This is a gimmick to make money, just like the 5-cent plastic bag that we all need to use to line our trash cans after we finished shopping. I'm totally against it, but de Blasio is a typical dictator, just like Kim Jong-il. And if I may, I want to say, make one comment about Trump cozying up to this dirty dictator.
Go ahead.
Who does he think he is, Barack Obama?
I love you, Phil. Right, you are right. Absolutely.
Hang in there, Phil. I understand how it's a moneymaker to get rid of styrofoam, but okay.
All right. Thanks, hey, Will. Let's go to Andy on line one. Good morning, Andy from Rockville Center.
Hey, Andy.
Good morning, guys. Len, first, I want to wish you a happy birthday. Today is actually my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you, Andy.
You and the president, Boy George.
Right.
Yeah, no, my brother also. I was born in 55, and he was born in 56. And
you're
my
kidding.
Mom couldn't have planned it any better. Honest to God.
A year apart on June 4th on Flag Day. Could you pronounce flag as a kid?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because I couldn't. My parents would always ask me what it is. I said, it's Fag Day. And that's what I did.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Thought that was funny. Anyway, what do you want to say,
What's
Andy?
On your mind, Andy?
I think it's a feel-good lore. I think you walk up and down every supermarket and you look at how many plastic containers there are. Those are where the issues are. How many detergent bottles go into the landfills and things like that? So there's more issues with that than there are with styrofoam. So just government, it's a feel-good thing. As a politician, hey, this is how I get votes from the environmentalists. So
that's
my take on it.
Thanks, pal. Happy birthday, Andy. Appreciate it.
Andy's right.
How about Mike? It's funny. People want to weigh in from the island. It doesn't even affect you, Mike. How you doing, Mike in Levittown?
Hey, good morning, Len. I am originally from Kentucky with this accent, as you can tell, but back when Mayor Bloomberg banned smoking, everybody in the country said, oh, my God, smoking in bars and smoking in restaurants. Well, it started a nationwide trend, and I think that this would, too. The same with plastic as well. It's just unneeded at this point in life.
Come on, Mike. You're not going to miss the styrofoam peanuts? They're kind of fun to play with after you unpack the breakable stuff.
Michael, I agree with that, but I like the bubble pop too. I sit there in the kitchen like a kid. But,
yeah.
All right, thanks, Mike. Glad we made you in New York or out of Kentucky.
All right, let's go to line two. Arthur from Cedarhurst. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Arthur.
How you doing?
Good. I think if Mayor de Blasio is so concerned with the environment, he should first worry about the environment of the 800,000 people living in NYCHA.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know a point that I made earlier today.
No,
exactly,
that's good
Arthur.
Point, Arthur. Good Thank point. You. Thank yeah. you very much. Appreciate it. Hey, it's time for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from yesterday afternoon's loss in Atlanta, and you'll win a pair of tickets. See the Mets take on the Dodgers June 24th at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. Turning point. Proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And for the latest news headlines, it's 8:30. Go to Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Len, Michael, Governor Phil Murphy placing the first bet at Monmouth Park at 10:30 this morning as sports gambling begins its legalization in New Jersey today.
I'm not disclosing yet what that bet might be. It's possible I might make more than one.
Oh, we're on the edge of our
spender.
Oh, Governor. We're such on the edge of our seats here. It's unbelievable. Please tell us.
The Borgata in Atlantic City begins taking bets at 11 a.m. and online sports gambling expected to start in about a month from now. President Trump is raising some eyebrows with his latest comments about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on Fox News. He was asked about Kim being a killer.
Hey, when you take over a country, tough country, with tough people, and you take it over from your father, I don't care who you are, what you are, how much of an advantage you have. If you can do that at 27 years old, that's 1 in 10,000 that could do that.
Trump would have gotten
really?
Along so well with Pol Pot.
Oh, boy. That's a tough job to be a dictator, I'll tell you.
You got to keep down those tough countries, Len. You can't have a tough country. Can't allow for that to happen. And this news report brought to you by NYC Pain MD. Treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE. That's 1-855-653-5633. And here's some bad news for you, Michael.
What?
A study says people who are religious live on average for 4 years longer than atheists.
I'm
already
you.
Dying right here.
We're watching it happen. Researchers with Ohio State, so it's legit, say that it's probably because churchgoers often volunteer and engage in social activities more than atheists. That's something that's routinely tied to longer lifespan. People who are religious also typically drink less alcohol.
Oops, I'm really doomed.
Which also helps them live
I don't volunteer,
longer.
And I drink a lot of Sauvignon Blanc. I'm finished.
You're a drunken atheist. You're dead. You're deadbeat real.
I look forward to your Drunken Atheist podcast. Thank you.
That's a good idea for a podcast. Drunken Atheist podcast with Michael Riedel.
Probably do better than Broadway.
I have a Broadway podcast, by the way.
I know.
It's very fun.
Just started. How do we get it?
You can get it on 710WOR.com/Len and Michael, and it's me and Christy Nagy, who's the morning host over at Light FM.
Right.
We talk about Broadway every week. Every week.
Very cool. You'll have interviews with Broadway stars and stuff like that?
As long as they're drinkers and atheists. They'll be on the podcast.
I'm happy to hear it. Hey, get your bets down. We're going to head live to Monmouth in New Jersey, where they're betting this morning legally for the first time on things other than horses. Alice Stockton Rossini is there. She has the latest for us. But right now, let's check in on traffic with Bernie Vice.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day here in the city, and it's a lovely day out at Monmouth Park, where we're going to go to Alice Stockton Rossini in a minute to give us the latest on the beginning of legalized betting in New Jersey. But first, Len, we have a winner for the
turnpike. We do. John Lawless of Center Reach was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' chock full of nuts turning point of the game.
The 1-2 is looped in the air to left, sinking fast. Nimmo has to play it on a hop, keeps it in front of him, picks it up, drops it, run coming in. Dansby Swanson belly flops across without a throw. And safe at first, having done it to the Mets again, Freddie Freeman. It's 1-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, it was 1-0. When you lose 2-0, 1-0 is pretty much going to be the turning point. Freddie Freeman later hit a home run for the final score of 2-0. So John Lawless wins a pair of tickets. Now, your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets postgame show here on WOR. That'll be tonight. The Mets start a series in Arizona. Coverage here on WOR is at 8:05.
Arizona's a tough team, too.
They're good, yeah. They're playing well this year. So listen to the postgame show, and that's your next chance to listen to find out what is the Mets' chock full of nuts turning point of the game.
All right, let's go to Monmouth Park with Alice Stockton Rossini, member of Gamblers Anonymous. Good morning, Alice.
How are you? Michael. Don't I just strike you as the kind of woman who walks in and just places her bets?
Absolutely. The house is gone. You're homeless.
No, never. Yeah. I played a slot machine once. I walk around and go, why? How is this fun? I'd rather be hiking. Anyway, it's a very funny thing. You know, I thought rabid sports fans would be lined up outside. Not the case. A lot of media here. A lot of security here. Canine dogs sniffing our bags. We're setting up for the governor's arrival. Kind of hard to nail down exactly what time that's going to be. I talked to Dennis Drazen. He's the CFO of Monmouth Park, who literally led the charge to legalize sports betting in New Jersey and was so confident it was going to happen, invested, you know, a lot of money into the gaming parlor that I'm standing in and the public gaming parlor that is just outside. So check out Drazen. When I'm asking him, like, what's the deal with the governor?
So you're the guy, Dennis Drazen.
That's what
you're the man.
That's what they tell me. You know, it's, the governor got the bill. He acted decisively, moved it forward as quickly as he could, and he's coming today to make the first bet. What could be better?
I know. When's he coming?
He's going to be here a little earlier than the time for the bet, but the first bet's 10:30.
I know. How early? How early?
First bet's 10:30.
Oh, come on. What's he betting on? You have to know.
We'll let him make that bet.
I bet you know.
I know, but I'm not going to tell.
Hey, Alice, those sports betting parlors like at Caesars and other places, casinos, they're gorgeous. What does this one look like in Monmouth?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that the public room is this big, expansive room. I wouldn't say that it's gorgeous. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. The bar is a little classier, but what would be one word to describe this room? Cavernous. Betting desk.
Alice, yeah. Aren't there monitors and bright lights on all the odds and all kinds of stuff like that?
Yeah, there's 15 desks and there's big monitors that show, you know, Seahawks, Broncos, pro baseball, pro football, World Series. You know, each desk has a different lineup of players and teams.
Can you bet? I know you can bet on the World Cup that's starting today in soccer. Can you bet on the U.S. Open golf that's going on?
Yeah,
I got it
right here. PGA Golf Tour, U.S. Open.
Oh. Okay.
Dustin Johnson -50. Rory McIlroy +130.
Whatever that means. I don't know what it means either. Rory McIlroy. I don't know what it means either. But whatever it is.
Hey, Alice, you said the bar is nice. More importantly, is it open?
The bar is not open. Trust me. I would definitely get on that. But no, the bar is not open at this point. They're saying that as soon as the governor casts, you know, places his bet, everything will be open, including the bar. So,
okay.
Anyway, Did you know that Drazen is not, there's one thing he's not allowed to do?
I didn't know.
Are you a betting man?
I'm not allowed to bet.
Can you bet somewhere else, like Nevada?
I can't bet. Well, maybe Nevada I could bet, but
yeah.
I can't bet in New Jersey.
Do you like betting?
And I'm not so sure they'd let me bet in Nevada anyway.
No, you think they'd recognize you?
They probably would.
They might know who you are.
At this point. But even if they didn't, I don't break the rules.
So that's a rule or a law? Why can't he bet? What's the deal?
I don't know if it's a law, but he says he doesn't break the rules. So I guess if you own an establishment like this, probably you're not allowed to bet.
That no, because you could rig it in your favor if you own it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. So that would be sense. But I like what he had to say about tax revenues. I found it very interesting.
They're lowballing the amount of tax revenue we're going to get out of this.
They are, really.
They are. How do you know?
Well, I've done my own numbers, and I have my own experts, and we expect the projections to be significantly higher, but...
How high?
What I would say is the illegal market between offshore and books with mob ties is a $400 billion market. New Jersey's share of that market's about $10 billion.
That's your bet.
Yeah. Monmouth Park is probably 10% of the whole state. So I expect the handle here to be about $1 billion a year.
I mean, does that sound like a betting man?
What's the tax? You don't get $1 billion in taxes. So what's the tax portion of that? Do we know?
I forget, but 5% of that, 5.
Well,
something.
Whatever it is, that. Yeah. Well, 10% would be $100 million for taxes. So 5%.
Wow, you are the math whiz. It's about $13 million is what they're anticipating, but they're lowballing it because they don't want anybody to be disappointed.
Gotcha.
Very excited. But, you know, I'm worried about those bookies. What will they do?
What are those poor bookies going to do, Dennis?
The poor bookies are still going to be alive.
Yeah.
You know, they do business differently than
they'll handle the college games, maybe.
They don't pay taxes. People can bet on credit with them. People are used to bookies. You don't have to pay taxes, you know, so they'll still have some market, but I think a significant amount of the illegal revenue will shift over into the legal market.
Well, that's what they hope.
We don't want to put Nathan Detroit from Guys and Dolls out of business, Len.
Yeah, we don't want to do that, but you know what? Bookies are always going to have a business. Always.
They are indeed.
Hey, Alice, we'll check back with you later as we get close to the governor's big bet, okay?
Oh, we can't wait.
All righty.
By the way, if you want to see what the betting parlor looks like, we have Alice's video up on our website at 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
Thank you, Alice. Hey, stick around because when we get back, we've got Rudy Giuliani. He has a new girlfriend. Another new one.
I'm lost.
This guy's mainlining Viagra. What's going on with him?
I need a scorecard.
He's got so many girlfriends.
I never knew Rudy was such a babe magnet. I'm
totally.
Telling you.
And also, was Albert Einstein a racist?
What?
Yes. Stick around for that.
It's coming up. Our iHeart Radio Music Festival is back. September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Listen to this lineup. Performances by Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Shawn Mendes, Kelly Clarkson, and just added Fleetwood Mac. The iHeart Music Festival Capital One Cardholder Presale is on. Cardholders get access to tickets right now. General public on sale Friday at 1 o'clock. So go to iHeartRadio.com/Capital One and get tickets now before they're gone.
I'm a big Shawn Mendes fan. Let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
It's 8:53 in the morning. If you're wondering how the golf is doing, they started a couple of hours ago out of Shinnecock, and golfer Aaron Baddeley is the early leader at 2 under par. He's only played 4 holes. And Brooks Koepka, you know who that is, right?
Yes, absolutely.
He won last year, as you know.
Yeah.
He's 1 shot back.
Big fan.
Matt Kuchar is 1 shot back, but only a handful of golfers have broken par. And
How's Ben Hogan doing?
Ben's not in it. I'm looking down here. There's a guy named... Scott Gregory, who's 9 over par after 6 holes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Listen, I think I could do that.
No, listen to this. Jordan Spieth has played 2 holes, and he's 4 over par. That's crazy. What a crummy start for a great golfer, Jordan Spieth. So you just don't know.
Well, that Shinnecock Hills is a really challenging course.
And we had Peter Jacobson from NBC on before talking about the high winds, a gust of 30. Hey, what's this Rudy thing? I mean, Rudy Giuliani, when did he become a babe magnet? What's the story?
He's got to be mainlining Viagra. All right, reports are coming out that he's dating more than one woman. The other day, yesterday, in fact, we were talking about his little tryst with Maria Ryan, who's a hospital administrator up there in New Hampshire. Apparently, she accompanied him on that trip to Israel. But now he's saying that he's also been dating this woman called Jennifer LeBlanc, who's a political operative from Louisiana. Now, I wonder if Maria Ryan knows that Giuliani's also dating Jennifer LeBlanc.
Does it have her age? Because the one in
New Hampshire. She's 56. The one in New Hampshire was 55, 56, too.
I mean, please, if anyone can tell me what makes Rudy Giuliani attractive to women, please,
what
women, open phone lines, 800-321-0710. What do I think? Because he knows Trump?
Does Rudy make you horny? Come on.
You think he has power? You think he's a powerful person? What makes him attractive now?
Well, one...
Come on, Natalie, do you think he's attractive?
He's well-known. He's famous.
Okay.
People assume he has money. Yeah. I don't know if he does or if he doesn't.
Charles
but
Manson was famous,
he
too.
He runs in the circle. Like, he's not. Don't put him in the same category as Manson.
He's
come
famous.
On.
I don't know.
That's rude.
Sorry, I apologize.
He must have a good health insurance policy to get all that Viagra for
free,
Rudy.
There are women who are seeking money, notoriety, fame,
and some fat old putz who's like laughing stock.
You're both very naive of what women might want.
What women want? Yeah,
they don't want us. That's for sure.
Well, speak for yourself.
We're not crazy fat old putzes talking about Trump.
No, but I know I really can't believe
it's incredible.
These younger women,
these babes are going
after him. He. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
It's incredible, but hey, you got to hand it to Rudy. I hope when I'm 74 years old, I'm dancing up a storm in Israel with a 56-year-old.
You have to hand it to Rudy.
Not
Tevye. Okay, fine. Hey, Paul McCartney. How often do we put Rudy and Paul McCartney in the same sentence? Apparently, he's got a new album coming out and a new big single. He hasn't had an album in 5 years. So what happened was he was playing. He showed up. It was a surprise. He shows up at a pub in Liverpool, and he starts playing this song called Come Home to You. And people there start to realize, you know what, this is a new deal, but it's only recorded on cell phone video, so we don't really have a studio recording of it. But, well, here's a sneak preview, courtesy of cell phone video from Liverpool.
That sucks. That's not Hey Jude.
Let's just say it's Paul McCartney.
That's not good
at
all.
Hey, it's Paul McCartney.
I hope he's not in the iHeart Festival lineup. That is bad.
Song. Well, you judge for yourself. We have the whole video up at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
Paul McCartney, when's the last time he had a good song? Probably with Wings, right? Like Live and Let Die, which is a great song. Bum, 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 bum.
But he's put out 17 albums since turning solo. Anyway, it's Paul McCartney. So there you go. That's all you have to say.
It's not good.
Now, Marion Huntington has the answer to our question why Rudy Giuliani is so attractive to you babes.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Len.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Many more to you.
Thank you.
The political operative from Louisiana is seeing him for political reasons to, you know, benefit her career, I am sure. Look, Rudy may be very nice to women. He may be a very loving, kind person. I don't know, but
he just cheats on them.
He cheated on his wife.
On all of
He's
them.
Cheated on all of them.
I know, but the women were involved too. They knew he was married. He's got money, right?
Yeah.
And power.
Okay. So that's it.
Come on, Mary. Do you think he's cute?
You know, I will tell you something honestly. Years ago, I did a PR job in the city, and he was the guest speaker at the event. When he was coming down the escalator after the event,
and you slept with him, Mary?
Him, the smile on his face was so endearing, and I thought he should smile more often. He was charming.
There's your answer. Thanks, Mary. He's got a big smile. That's your answer. This guy's got a big smile.
Mary admits she's got a crush. She's got a crush on Rudy.
No, I don't. I don't. But he was charming. He was much younger then, too.
All right. Thank you.
We all were,
Mary.
Just jealous.
Thanks, Mary.
We are, actually.
It.
We are jealous.
Hey, Einstein's a racist?
Yes, you can't believe this. Einstein, who discovered the theory of relativity, his diaries have been published, the travel diaries of Albert Einstein. And when he was in China, he calls the Chinese industrious but filthy and obtuse people. He says China's like a herd-like nation. And the people are automatons. And he says even the children are spiritless and look obtuse.
from Einstein, the genius.
Well, that's not nice.
Didn't have yellow fever over there.
What do you think of them running over Stuyvesant High School? Unbelievable. All right. First, you had the lesbians with problems with Uber, and now a gay guy says he was given a hard time by a cabbie. We've got it all after the news at 9 o'clock.
Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
On a gorgeous, just a gorgeous Thursday, 9:05 in the a.m. on 7:10 on the a.m. Good morning to you, and good morning to Michael Riedel.
Good morning, and very happy birthday to you, Len.
I mean that sincerely.
I know we kid around with each other, we make fun of each other, we scream at each other, we pull each other's hair, I stick my finger in your eye from time to time, but I want to say with great sincerity, happy birthday.
Thank you. You know what I was thinking about? And your parents were in the studio yesterday. Lovely, lovely people. And enjoyed meeting them and your sister and your nephew. But, you know, I woke up this morning and realized that people I shared my birthday with when I was a little kid, of course, were my parents and my uncle. And they're no longer around. So I got a little verklempt about that.
You have us instead.
I know. I have my new family.
And also, don't forget, you also share a birthday with Donald Trump. That should make you feel good, too.
It makes me feel great. I share a birthday with Boy George. I couldn't be prouder.
And my friend Eileen.
Your friend Eileen?
My friend Eileen's birthday is today.
I've been getting emails from listeners who it's also their birthday, and I have good friends who are celebrating an anniversary today. So it's Flag Day.
You think anybody cares when my birthday is?
We know, and unfortunately none of us are going to be here. So,
my birthday is December 24th.
Boy,
nobody will be here in the studio
on the short
my
card,
birthday.
Because no one, you didn't get two presents.
No, I got to tell you, I love my parents, and they were very careful about that. I had my own birthday tree. I had a little birthday tree.
Oh, little Mikey had
I had a little birthday tree with little elves on it, and my parents made sure on December 24th there were presents for me under that tree for my birthday.
Now that is sweet.
That's why I turned out the way I am.
You know,
greedy bastard who wants all the presents on the 24th and the 25th.
We do have a picture up on Twitter of your whole family. They really were the sweetest.
Nice. Really
now,
nice.
I don't like to reveal people's age, but I heard how old your dad was, and I was shocked, honestly.
Yeah. I did ask you, though.
Natalie, he was as spry as anything.
And Natalie said, can I put the picture of your family up on our website? I said, fine, but please, would you blur their faces, because they don't like to be in a photo with me.
All right. And I can understand that, so I just blurred your face out.
Tell the truth. What happened? We come in the studio, and you have your parents, your sister, your nephew, and me, and so we all take a picture.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. It was so nice. And Natalie says, Len, get out of the picture.
We just want
the family.
Maybe they wanted a mantle picture, to put up or something.
You didn't want me?
Didn't want you in it, too.
I did have to laugh because Tom Cuddy, who runs our station, he sent me a picture of my family with Len. He said, this is your Christmas card. And I saw Len and my dad there. And I thought, well, I don't know. Does Michael have two daddies?
Oh, you're so... It is amazing your family does stuff to you. I guess because you bribed them yesterday with theater tickets, they'll still talk to you.
I got my parents to Hamilton.
You keep up these insults. I'm going to play that 5-year-old girl singing My Way again.
Please do, Len.
And I think your nephew had a good time yesterday,
too. Oh, your nephew was great.
He's the one who made you play the 5-year-old kid singing My Way over and over again.
It was Ben's fault. All right, our big three stories this morning. Get your bets down. Sports betting does come to New Jersey this morning. The first bet an hour and 12 minutes from now will be placed by Governor Phil Murphy.
I'm not disclosing yet what that bet might be.
Oh, Phil, please. Because we've been up all night. Just dying to know.
Whoa.
Okay. Anyway, man. Alice's Stock the Rosini is standing by at Monmouth Park. We'll get an update from her a little bit later in the hour. Also in the big three, another birthday boy, Donald Trump. Praising Kim Jong-un.
Quite the bromance going on
really
between
something
Trump
going on there, huh?
And that dictator, yeah. I mean, Macron, the French guy, who he and Trump, I thought, were having a little affair. Macron must be insanely jealous the way Trump is lavishing praise on Kim Jong-un. He says he's a tough guy. Took over the country when he's 26 years old. You got to kill a few people to run things. Hey, that's what you do when you're a dictator, Len. Why is this surprising?
It was hard for him. Trump said only 1 in 10,000 could have done what he'd done. I mean, it's really tough.
Aircraft missiles to blow up your uncle.
It's tough. It's not easy. Rounding out the big three, got to ditch that styrofoam. The mayor says come January 1st, no styrofoam in the city. There will be a grace period to get this thing going. And small businesses, I believe the cutoff is 500,000, will be exempt because the cost to ditch styrofoam and use plastic, I think it increases threefold the package.
Yeah, so it could put small businesses out of business. So there we are. I'm going to miss the styrofoam peanuts, though. I love the styrofoam peanuts.
Well, I don't know how you legislate against them, because what if they come in from another state? You can't legislate against them.
Yeah, I mean, you order something from Amazon that's breakable.
Yeah.
It's going to come either packed with the peanuts or, well, I guess you got the poppy, snappy, crackly, poppy bubble wrap.
We like the bubble wrap.
We like the bubble wrap.
Hey, coming up in the next segment, we have another edition of Real News or Fake News. So if you want to play, you give us a call, and you can win a valuable WOR t-shirt. We'll read you a couple of headlines, and one's real and one's fake. If you figure out which is which, you win a t-shirt.
But we've been good at faking people out. We have not had a winner. I think we had one winner in the last couple of weeks we played.
No, and the only reason he won is because I nearly talked him out of it. Because he gave the answer, and I said, a final answer? Are you sure?
You're sure about
that? And then he changed his answer. I said, no. Don't change it. You were right.
We gave him a t-shirt anyway.
We gave him the t-shirt.
But it's a great game. We love to play, and we're going to see if we can fake you out later in this hour.
So what's going on with sex and livery cabs? So first we had the lesbian couple and the Uber driver.
Is there an issue? What's the issue?
I judge you first time, but don't do it.
Illegal for an Uber?
It is illegal. You don't do that.
Kissing is not illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal.
No, it's not.
You don't do that here in the car.
What you are you talking? Anyone can kiss in an Uber. You are sick.
You're allowed to do this.
I am. We're filming you. Sir, why are we not allowed to kiss in an Uber? Yeah.
Well, so this driver said, well, he would have been upset if there was heterosexual kissing as well. He said they were being abusive and doing some other nice things.
He did say that they were kind of abusive and out of control before they got into the cab. And he also said, this is kind of gross, so plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. But he said one of them was like smelling the other one's underarms or something like that. That's not a pleasant thing to have going on in the back of your cab.
Well, don't you?
Your girlfriend. Stop it.
Ridiculous. Anyway, the cabbie has had his TLC license suspended, so he's in a little bit of trouble. But now comes this other story that this gentleman by the name of Ryan Smith, he and his friend hailed a cab from East 42nd and Fifth Avenue. Well, that's the public library, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted to go to Brooklyn. While en route, they say the driver turned around. Well, here's Ryan Smith.
When the driver turned around, interrupted our conversation and was like, are you gay? We were like, but before we could ask again, he was like, are you a gay man? Yes, I am. And he was like, I don't drive gays.
This is interesting, Len, though. If you think in this era of political correctness, right, okay, and we don't want to be anti-immigrant, as progressives tell us, but what do you do if you are a progressive gay person and you come up against an immigrant from a Muslim country who thinks that homosexuality is sinful? You're going to have identity politics at each other's throats.
Does this go to the Supreme Court, like the cake issue in Colorado?
Well, I the cake is different because the guy who made the cake claims that he's an artist.
Oh, so you use the artist thing, right?
He's got free expression
as an
artist.
But you can use that as an excuse to be discriminatory, too.
Yeah, but no Uber driver can argue that he's an artist because he's behind the wheel and he takes makes a right turn on red. You can't argue that you're an artist for that.
All right, so here's where he got to the story. They hail the cab. He says he doesn't drive gays. And then what happened?
Fortunately, took a picture of his medallion number. My head was spinning at this point. I just wanted to get us out of the backseat of this bigot's cab.
Out of the backseat of the bigot's cab. What they did was they had the driver pull over on the Lower East Side and they got out. They took a photo of the medallion number.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a problem.
You can't discriminate against, if you're a cab driver, you can't discriminate against the people you pick up. I mean, come on. We went through this whole period in the city, Len. Remember when black people said they couldn't get a cab?
Oh, absolutely.
They would stand, cabs would go right by him. Now some guy's going to be swishy and wave his arm. The cabs are going to pass him by.
No, I remember, a couple of years ago.
Probably still goes on.
Well, my buddy Al Roker a couple of years ago, he posted on Twitter, he's standing by NBC. And he's hailing a cab, and they drove right past him and picked up a white guy a block later. It's Al Roker. I mean, that shouldn't matter.
No,
but they passed right by him, and listen, it still goes on.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Now, I do think, to be fair to taxi cab drivers, I am sure that there have been incidents of kind of sex going on in the back of cabs. And I think a cab driver, an Uber driver, is within his rights to say, hey, wait a minute. Not in my cab. You're not going to be fooling. You're not going to take your clothes off and be fooling around in the back of my cab. That's enough. Get out. I think that's fair. Kissing, that's, you know, please, nothing there. But I'm sure people have had sex in the back of cabs. And, you know, if I were the driver, I wouldn't throw them out. I'd be, you know, looking in the rear view mirror. But I think it can be offensive to a driver. You shouldn't be going out of control in the back of a cab.
Well, let's hear some more of the lesbian argument with the Uber guy.
Nothing is illegal. We're not. It's not illegal to kiss in New York. Don't get off of her phone. Don't touch her.
Don't take it.
Oh, no, we're taking a video of you. I'm recording you. You're going to get fired.
Okay, I'm going to get you fired.
Can we call the cops right now, actually, before we close
the door? No, we can't call the cops.
You know what? I'm going to call them. I want to.
No, we'll report them to Uber. It's okay.
No,
it's okay.
I want to call them.
Those lesbians are tough.
Don't mess with them.
Don't mess with those
babes.
But
you love them. You thought they were
pretty cute. Come on, you gave them a 9, Len.
Hey, I liked them, yeah. Hey, now this story was crazy. You were telling me about it before we went on the air.
Yeah, no, I saw this. An Australian couple, both in their 30s, they were in Portugal, and they were standing on a wall overlooking the ocean and this beautiful part of Portugal, and they were taking a selfie of themselves. And apparently they dropped their cell phone camera and they both went to reach for it and they tumbled over the wall and plunged 100 feet to their deaths.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's terrible. Terrible.
I think there have been stories like in recent months of people to take a selfie and they fall or they trip.
You know, I don't know. There's all this weird stuff out on the web, but sometimes you get sucked down into those sponsored stories on websites. Yeah. And there is one that I have gone through. I was sucked into it where it's the last picture people have taken of themselves just before they've been killed.
Oh,
like somebody bungee jumping and it didn't work, or some guy who's going to, he would, you know, crawl up on buildings and he's on a ledge.
What's wrong with your personality
fell?
Where you would want to go find those pictures?
I don't know.
Why would you even
go? I'm the man who, you know, reenacted the JFK assassination.
You are a strange bird. Yeah, you were telling us yesterday that you had a toy rifle as a kid and you pretended you were assassinating JFK.
That's not what I was doing. The conspiracy theories about the Kennedy assassination were really big, as you know, in the 70s. I was following that stuff, and I was trying to solve the crime. That's what I was doing. Okay. I was not Lee Harvey Oswald. I was Columbo.
Crime Stopper. Where was this couple from that died here?
They were from Australia, but they died in Portugal.
Just awful.
Yeah, terrible. Sad story.
Well, on the bright side, you want to win a valuable T-shirt. We're going to play Real News or Fake News. So call us, 800-321-0710, if you want to give it a try. Plus, Mark Simone is coming up after the 10 o'clock news. But right now, it's time for our traffic report. Here's Bernie Viter.
UOR. Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
It's that time to play our favorite game. Give us a call at 1-800-321-0710 if you want to play Real News or Fake News. 1-800-321-0710. Let's go to our first contestant, Linda from Whippany, New Jersey. Good morning, Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Lynn.
Thank you, Linda. Very nice.
Will you call on December 24th when I'm here all by myself and it's my birthday, Linda?
Yes, I will. December 24th, yes.
Put that in your book.
I will.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm going to give you two headlines, Linda. You tell me which is the real headline and which is the fake headline. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. Headline number one. While demolishing an old house in France, workers found 600 gold coins worth $120,000. They knocked down a house in France, and they got the jackpot. All right. Headline number two. A man has been living inside a California aquarium for the past 6 months. No one noticed, and he's changed his name to Aquaman. Man was living inside a California aquarium for 6 months. No one noticed. He's now changed his name to Aquaman. Which is real? Which is fake, Linda?
I'm going to say Aquaman is true because it sounds hideous. So I'll say that's true.
Aquaman is true?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I sold it really well, though, didn't I?
You did.
Thank you.
Yes. No. The real story is an old house in France was being demolished, and the workers found 600 gold coins from 1870 worth $120,000.
Wow. Thanks, Linda. Hey,
Linda. Next up,
we've got Jack in Spring Valley. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Very good. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Jack. Very nice of you. I'm going to give you two headlines, and you're going to tell me which is real and which is fake. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Number one. He seems really psyched. Number one headline. A dead husband returns alive after police sent the wife the wrong body. You want me to repeat that or you got it?
You can repeat it.
Okay. A dead husband returns alive after police sent the wife in Japan the wrong body. That's headline one. Headline number two, a man is trying to walk across Siberia. Mm. Which is real, which is fake?
Number one's real.
Wow.
Whoa, we got a winner.
I'm shocked. Way to go, Jack. You're the man. Now, what happened was a woman in Japan told police that the dead body of her missing husband that was sent to her was not dead. And after being missing a year, the guy turned up alive. He's probably out partying with Rudy Giuliani.
I don't completely. Know. Completely. That's right.
Anyway, congratulations, Jack. You win a valuable and limited edition WOR t-shirt with the name of the show, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on the back. So stand the line, Jack. Congrats.
I love those t-shirts, actually. I jog with them. I wear that t-shirt when I go jogging on the West Side Highway. So if you ever see a very fit and trim looking guy with a Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning t-shirt on, that would be not Len, me.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, on a serious note, I just saw this about Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? His body was reportedly cremated in France.
Mm.
So they asked the French prosecutor about that, and they said there was, since there was no evidence that Bourdain's death was anything but a suicide, the cremation was allowed. This is according to People magazine. Nothing suggested the involvement of a third person. 61-year-old Bourdain killed himself, of course, and just says now he's cremated, and they'll ship home those remains.
Well, his body was tied up there in red tape for a while, and the family was unable to plan funeral services for him, but now he has been cremated, and the remains are headed back to the States. So that is sad. And Kate Spade, we think of her, too. They both hang themselves from doorknobs.
And now they're saying that they're a copy. You know, when a celebrity well, died like that, there are others who are kind of copycats.
Yeah, that is the scary thing.
Hey, you know what? I just saw it, and we didn't get to mention it earlier. I guess L.A., because I remember this case came forward against Sylvester Stallone. Remember someone was charging him?
Yeah, with the hashtag Me Too stuff.
Yeah, and that was, and he immediately and vociferously said, not me, it didn't happen, and I never saw the story again. Well, right now, the case is being reviewed by the L.A. District Attorney's Office.
Uh-oh.
So it's being reviewed, and let's see, the Santa Monica Police Department's involved, did not give any further details on the alleged crime.
Interesting. Anyway. Well, there must be something there if they're looking into it.
So maybe there is. So anyway.
Rocky's going to get punched. All right, let's check in on the 9:30 news with Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Sports gambling launches this morning at Monmouth Park. Michael Grodzki is with William Hill, the group that's running the operation. He says it'll generate $13 million in tax revenue and will lead to more jobs.
We are prepared for whoever comes out today. We've been training for a long time. We're staffed up. We've hired nearly 50 employees, ticket writers, that have been trained. And if it's your first time betting or if you are a bettor that has been to a window many times before, feel free to come on up.
And Governor Phil Murphy placing the first bet about an hour from now. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's in Beijing today talking about the nuclear deal with North Korea. He says the North will move quickly to give up its nukes.
We now believe we have a path forward which can truly, for the first time in so many years, create peace on the peninsula.
Pompeo reiterated that there won't be any sanctions relief until there's verifiable proof North Korea is giving up its nuclear weapons. Let's get
WOR.
Well, 9:39, we are less than an hour away from the first legal non-horse but sports-related bet in New Jersey at Monmouth Park at 10:30. Governor Phil Murphy will step up to the window and place the bet, and we have Alice Stockton Rossini. We'll go to her in 1 second. You know, we were talking earlier about the U.S. Open Golf, which is out on Long Island. That's why you have traffic out on the the island, folks, in the Hamptons. So it started, 6:45, so they're about 3 hours into the round. Five golfers are one under par. That's the best they could do, five of them.
Wow.
But just interesting to note that one of them is Justin Rose, and that's the one who our guest Peter Jacobson, the NBC announcer who we had on, that was his choice who's going to win it.
Very good. Although he said Phil Mickelson is not out of the pack.
He thinks Phil has a shot. But some well-known golfers are one under, like Brooks Koepka who won last year, and Justin Rose and Ian Poulter and Matt Kuchar. Actually, there's more. There's 10 golfers are one under. So it's a tough course. Let me see who the worst one is. That's always fun to look at.
Absolutely.
Let's see. After 9 holes, Scott Gregory is 12 over par. So there you go. Oh, how is this? Remember we were talking about Spieth before. I wonder. Let's see. Bubba's 3-0. Bubba Watson's 3-0. I can't find him. Anyway, that's what's going. Oh, here's Mickelson. Has he started? I just saw his name go by. All right, I'll have to look again. Anyway, let's go to Alice Stockton Rosini at Monmouth Park, where they're betting on all things sports this morning. Hey, Alice, what's the update?
How you doing? Can we drink yet? Can we drink yet?
Is the bar open?
Are you sure? Say hi to. Say hi to Len and Michael.
How you doing, Adam Michael?
Drinking
already.
I am not drinking. I am not drinking. Are you, unless you're going to give me a freebie. Or a little mimosa action there. Okay. So I'm in the sports lounge. There's a lot of suits in here. It's a little quieter. Outside the sports bettees, they're showing up, and they're looking at their sheets, and they're trying to figure out what to do. You know what? They say it's an historic day. They want to be among the first to place their bets. As soon as Governor Murphy places his, they want to be online. I'm now out in the big room. You can hear the difference, right? They want to be online. They want to make that first bet. And Wayne was one of the first people here. He was standing up against the wall. And I said, geez, where are all your friends?
You know, I expected sports bettors to be lined up outside.
So did I. That's why I tried to get here early. But
what are you going to bet on?
I am looking to bet on France for the World Cup, probably some baseball.
Do you bet on the whole game or just the inning?
The whole game.
The whole thing?
Yes. Maybe some football. I'm looking at the board. Very nice. They have a nice setup here, and everything looks pretty good. So I'm very happy about it.
Oh, France. We saw that Argentina is the favorite of the bettors at 5-1 to win the World Cup. But, okay, France.
Argentina. So he's going with France. Anyway, so I was asking him, you know, you were asking me to kind of describe this place, and I kind of choked a little bit because it's not glitzy. So we talked about that.
Everything looks very clear. The boards look nice.
Have you seen the lounge over there?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
Very nice.
Very nice. I expected more glitz.
Monmouth Park is, you know, it's not a glitzy track like Santa Anita or Del Mar in California, but it's a very nice place.
It's perfect for New Jersey.
Exactly.
Well, Monmouth Park is a gorgeous, gorgeous place to watch horse racing. It really is a beautiful. But, you know, I was saying I've seen Vegas sports books, and they're monitors and the colored lights of all the different bets you can make, and it really is glitzy. But that's Vegas.
It is, but this is not that. This is more Jersey glitz. You know what I'm saying?
Jersey glitz.
There is such a thing as Jersey glitz. What's it called? Tony Soprano?
Now there is. I talked to one lady. She said, I just hope it brings down taxes in New Jersey.
Well, yeah. You know, for a big dream on. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. How's that going to go?
I don't know. We'll see, won't we? Wayne's not spending a whole lot of money today.
All right. How much money are you going to spend today?
Probably $200.
What else would you do with that anyway?
I'll probably put it in the bank.
No fun, right?
Yeah, no fun.
How much would you hope to win?
Maybe $500.
How do you decide what to bet on?
Sometimes you just got to guess.
Get a feeling.
Yes.
Got a feeling in your belly.
Exactly.
Got a feeling.
Here's my dumb feeling. Here's my dumb question in the morning. Do you have to pay admission to get into the track to go to the sports betting? No.
No, okay. You don't even have to pay for parking. You know what's interesting, though, real quick, is I talked to a New Jersey state trooper undercover guy, and he said, you know, it's going to be interesting because there's going to be a huge influx of people, huge influx of cash moving from the parking lot into the sports betting area. Literally, it's only a few feet to run to your car. He's worried about people getting ripped off. He's like, I really hope that they have stepped up the security around here because there's going to be a lot more people than they have ever seen before.
So they expect them to come in from, like, Pennsylvania or something to bet?
Well, certainly from all over the state of New Jersey, yeah. And I mean, it's the first. So, yeah, okay, the Borgata is going to open up later this morning as well. But this is the first place. This is the place that fought to bring legalized sports betting to New Jersey. He thinks there's just going to be a lot of interest here, at least, you know, in the beginning. Maybe it'll level off, but he thinks Oceanport, I think that's the name of the area around here, is just going to see a lot of action.
And Alice, they better be ready for it.
Alice, just something that you said there. The people are worried they're going to be ripped off, or they're going to be thieves, going to prey on these people because they know they're coming in with money to bet?
Well, yeah, they're coming in with cash. They're coming in with money in their pocket, a lot of them. And also, this place is taking in a lot of cash. So when they're transporting that cash out of here, there's going to have to be a little extra security, he thinks. And, you know, people hang out in the parking lots. You know, you've been around, like, betting places. It's not glitzy. It's not, I wouldn't say glitz. You know what I'm saying? It's, there can be some that underworld element.
Anyone there now looks like he's a bit of an underworld figure, Alice?
All of them.
Okay. Have a good time, Alice.
Have fun with the Sopranos.
Tony!
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. Alice Stockton, Rossini, Monmouth Park. By the way, I was looking over the, I happen to love golf. And the U.S. Open is playing right here on Long Island.
Shinnecock Hills.
So obviously a lot of interest in Phil Mickelson. Well, through his first four holes, he's 3 over par. And then golfers like Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth are both played 4 holes. They're both 4 over par. So this golf course
it's tough.
Is not easy. So if
it's got to be the wind today.
If Mickelson's start is any indication, I wouldn't expect him to win his first U.S. Open. But then again, I wasn't expecting that anyway.
It's early in the season, Len.
It's early in the tournament. Not early in the season.
I know, but I've got the mantra. It's early in the season.
You know Yogi's line. It gets laid awfully early around here. And that's, you know, that's what happens.
That's it.
Coming up, we've got some fascinating stories before we call the day and send you over to Mark Simone. First of all, there's this story that Riedel is just fascinated by.
It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today.
Well, that's why you're fascinated by it. So let's just say that kleptos are in full bloom in business class on airplanes.
They are.
People are stealing stuff. What's going on there?
Can you believe it? Blankets.
And this story I thought was really good. This is not a good use for a tailpipe. This is a warning to this lady. Nah, not a good idea for the tailpipe. But first, let's hit Bernie Vider with traffic.
On 710 WOR.
Very good Thursday morning to everybody. We're just about 7 minutes away from Mr. New York, Mark Simone. He is on deck. Got a couple of airline stories for you, Lynn. I've actually experienced this. A Qantas plane, the Australian airline.
Yeah.
It was caught in a vortex, and it caused the plane.
What is a vortex?
Well, a vortex is caused often by a plane in the flight path before your plane.
And like a wake and on the water?
Yes, exactly. And it causes turbulence. But in this one plane, this Qantas flight, got caught in this vortex, and it led the plane to do a 10-second nosedive over the Pacific Ocean. People on the plane thought, this is it. We're going to bite it. We're gone. They were holding hands as the plane, for 10 seconds, went nose first, going down. The pilots were able to right it. Plane was fine. Nobody was injured. People were bounced around a bit. But I remember once flying from New York to Los Angeles, and we were over the Rocky Mountains where the turbulence kind of starts.
Right.
And we didn't do a nosedive, but the plane literally, it stopped flying, and it dropped. It just fell.
Wow.
And I remember things were flying up in the air. The tray was flying all over the place. The plane just fell. People were screaming, terrified. Nothing happened to us, fortunately, but we were really
scary.
It is scary. It's very scary.
Well, it says here, the scary part to me is this happened an hour and a half out of L.A. They're going to Australia.
Yeah.
They had, another 15, 16 hours to go, so that had to be terrible. But here, I was looking at the story. A Qantas spokesperson said there was no breach of separation because the two... Well, it was caused by a plane.
A plane in front of you.
They said that they were 20 nautical miles apart and 1,000 feet in altitude, so I don't know.
Can you imagine that happens, an hour and a half into the flight? You got another 17 hours to go on the plane? I'd be terrified.
Here's the scary part of the story. This comes out of the Australian News Service. There have been several incidents of wake vortexes causing serious injuries and even deaths after pilots have lost control of the aircraft. So that's scary.
A friend of mine, he came in from London not too long ago, and he had a big gash on his forehead. I said, what the hell happened to you? And he said, air turbulence. He was flying British Airways. And he got up to use the bathroom.
I was going to ask if he was seatbelted. Yeah.
No, he got up to use the bathroom. All of a sudden, the plane hit the turbulence, and he fell from the turbulence and knocked his head on a tray that was out and got a gash there.
Mm.
So can be a little scary up there in the unfriendly skies.
What's your other airplane story?
Well, now, Len, I know. I don't think I'm revealing too much here, but you don't fly in the back end of the plane the way I do, right? You're not in the chicken coop.
You would be correct, sir.
So when you enter, you always go left while I go right?
If they have it, sometimes you take a flight and everyone goes right.
Yes, and then
you've boarded first, so you have to sit there with like your head down, not gloating too much.
All the people
go back to row 120 seat Z.
That's me. That's me. I'm with envy at all you rich people up there. But you know, there's nobody cheaper than a rich person because, according to the Wall Street Journal, business class passengers are stealing everything that you get in business class. They're walking away with a memory foam pillows.
What? They give you silverware.
Yes.
Of course you get pillows.
They're taking the brandy glasses. Some of them are even stealing the fancy bottles of wine when
real
the stewardesses
glasses?
Aren't looking.
Yes, not
you
plastic?
No, you get real glasses. Yeah, you get real glasses.
And real booze as much as you want.
Exactly.
As you can tell from all these groping cases that show up in court.
Yes, but you rich people, Len.
You rich people.
You rich kleptos at the front of the plane are stealing all the stuff that you're supposed to leave on the plane, including the blankets. On United Airlines, they give you these very comfortable Saks Fifth Avenue blankets.
Sure.
And there's a guy quoted in the Wall Street Journal saying, yeah, I fly this airline enough. I can take the blanket. He stole five blankets from the airline.
Yeah.
That is so obnoxious.
What have you stolen, Len?
Which is why my ticket's so expensive now.
Never take anything.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't believe in stealing.
You
that's
didn't.
One of my pet
you just take.
You didn't.
No, I don't. I really don't.
You didn't nip
two
a brandy
things.
Bottle.
I credit my dad for that. But stealing and lying are two things that make me crazy. So
well, now that I see that rich people can do it, the next time I get upgraded, I'm going to put my hands around everything I can hold, and I'm going to make off with everyone, including the flight attendants.
Good going.
I'm still a pilot.
Would get you in jail.
This may be my favorite story. This comes out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. There was a music festival in a town called Winsted, which is 40 miles out of Minneapolis. And a car in a parking lot has this huge tailpipe. So what do you do if there's a huge tailpipe? This young lady decided to stick her head in it because she thought she could.
She put her head in the tailpipe.
She put her head in the tailpipe and was stuck there. And they had to come rescue her. And police, I don't know if they had the jaws of life. They did say that she had her head stuck in a tailpipe. How big is her head? How big is the tailpipe?
How small is her head?
And where is the Jiffy Lube when you need it?
Well, first of all, they said alcohol may have been involved.
Maybe, yeah.
The tailpipe was drunk.
But I just can't think of a tailpipe without thinking of Beverly Hills Cop. Wow, you're stuck on a banana in my tailpipe?
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe. See, that's more natural for us. You've been hanging out with this dude too long.
Eddie Murphy with those two bubbling cops. I'm falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Anyway, lady had her head stuck in a tailpipe.
I can't get over a woman sees a large tailpipe and she sticks her head in it.
Well, you've heard other stories of guys.
Well,
we're out of time now.
Okay, that'll
been
do
stuck
it for
in the tailpipe.
Happy Thursday, everyone.
Give the tailpipe head. There you go. Okay, hey, did you miss anything today? Check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We got videos up there. We've got all of our best bits on the web. We've had some good bits, I think. That's all for you on the website. And coming up next is Mark Simone at the 10 o'clock news.